Today marks, of course, the beginning of Holy Week as we turn our hearts toward Easter Sunday this next weekend, and I am so excited about this next week. You know, it's hard to believe that 1 year ago we were doing Easter online. Not this year, all right? Not this year. We've got an outdoor service at 8 o'clock, so if you want to come outdoor early, right there in the back. If it's raining, we'll go in the FLC. We're going to have a 9 o'clock service right here in the big room, and then we're going to have a 10:45 10 o'clock right here. Is that what it is? 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock? I should know this. I'll be here, okay? 9 o'clock service here, and then 10:45. I really should know this. Check the website for details, all right? But you need to be here, and I say that to say this. We've been encouraging you to invite someone, a family member that you know that needs to have an encounter with Christ. Maybe it's a friend at school. Whatever it may be, and we've had such a positive response from you on outreach in this community, our Easter signs, putting things on door. I say all this at the outset to say next week, we are going to open up the church a little bit, because here's what I don't want to happen. I don't want you to bring someone, and with us, where we've been at 50% capacity, not be able to get in the room and go to overflow. And so, pay attention. We're going to send out an email this week. We'll have ushers and signs available. But we're going to open up the church in some places to increase our capacity just a little bit more on Easter, so that every person that wants to get in can. We'll have mask-mandated sessions. We'll have sections that you can separate and social distance. And then we'll have some that are just full on. So just be with us. Bear with us, patience. I just want anybody we want as a leadership team and as a church, anybody that comes on our campus, to get in the room if they can. We'll have overflow available, but just wanted you to know. So you've got three services to choose from. For all the times and locations, go to our website, all right, championforest.org. We will see you here next week. Of course, this Sunday, traditionally known as Palm Sunday, where we remember and reflect on the life of Jesus, that last week of his life. He marches into Jerusalem to Hosannas, to them hailing him as king. And within a matter of a week, he is crucified, put to death, and of course, his glorious resurrection. Now, the scripture calls the triumphal entry, that's what they call it. It's a fulfillment of prophecy. John's gospel puts it like this. You're in John chapter 20. John chapter 12 will be on the screens for you. The next day, the large crowd that had come to the feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. And so they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, crying out, "Hosanna, save now, salvation now. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." And Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, just as it is written. It was written in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. The prophet declared 500 years before Jesus would ever do this, that the King of Israel would be marching in. "For fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." The people were celebrating Jesus. They were hailing Jesus. They were honoring Jesus. The crowds believed that he was the Messiah, and he was, just not in the political sense that they were thinking. Again, you fast forward to Friday. Jesus is betrayed. Jesus is arrested. Jesus is crucified. And Jesus dies. And with his death, so too do the disciples' dreams die. On Palm Sunday, they were with Jesus. They were a part of the celebration, and they were having conversations about who is going to be greatest in his coming kingdom. They had looked forward to this all of their lives, certainly the last 3 years that they followed Jesus. Now Jesus is about to come through, but within a matter of 1 week, those dreams are shattered. They're hiding for their lives, knowing that because of their association with Jesus, their crucifixion could be next. On top of this, there are some witnesses that have been to the grave a few days after Jesus died, and they came to report to the disciples that the body's nowhere to be found. And they're talking about seeing angels and visions, something about a resurrection. And these disciples do not know what to do. So they're all together, huddled up in a room, all but one of them. His name is Thomas. And he's the subject of the message today as we continue in this Never the Same series, because the encounter that Jesus and Thomas have in this passage of Scripture is truly remarkable. Now again, the rest of the disciples, they're gathered in this room, fearful for their life. They're in shock. They're in disbelief. The Scripture says the doors are locked. You got to know that the windows were closed, the lights were dim. Nobody was saying anything. And then look at what John chapter 20, verse 19 says takes place. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." Now, he better have brought a word of peace, because you know they were scared out of their mind being there, and Jesus just shows up. You keep reading this account, other gospel accounts, the Scripture tells us that Jesus had a meal with his disciples there. He spoke words of life and mission over them in that moment. He breathed upon them the promised Holy Spirit to come, and then just like he appeared out of nowhere, he is gone. Now, I want you to think what was going on. Put yourself in that room in that moment. I mean, stuff like this doesn't just happen. They saw Jesus die. And now Jesus has appeared, resurrected. He's eating with them, talking with them. I mean, they're seeing him with physical eyes, hearing him speak with their ears. Their faces in that moment. When he disappears, I mean, their eyes must have been so wide. Like, what? I imagine tears, high fives, hugs. Now imagine you're Thomas and you missed out on the whole thing. You weren't there. Scripture tells us in verse 24, now Thomas, one of the 12 called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. If you're taking notes, as I encourage you to take notes every week, the title of the message is called FOMO. F-O-M-O. You know what it means? The fear of what? Missing out. This is actually a legit word. It's in our dictionaries. You can look it up. Here's the definition. I brought it with me. Anxiety that an exciting or interesting event may currently be happening elsewhere, often aroused by posts on a social media website. Now, the disciples, they didn't have Facebook, they didn't have Twitter, Instagram, but you got to know, if they would have had cell phones, those pictures would have been coming out, right? I mean, it would have been selfie central right there in the upper room. They would have been posting it, hashtag he's alive. Everybody would have known what they were missing out on. We know what this feeling's like, right? I mean, you saw it. Those of you on social media, you see something going on, you think, oh, why am I not there? How didn't I get that invite? I mean, some of us will change previously made plans in order to get there, all because of FOMO, fear of missing out. Now, you're getting to know a little bit of my personality here. Been here 3 months now. You see it. Hopefully, I'm the same person up here as I am at home and in the office. I think the staff and my family would certainly tell you that. A little bit energetic, got a lot going on, thinking, okay, this is just the way I go. And I'm telling you, I suffer from FOMO, all right? I can't, this is true. When I study for these sermons, I have to be either at my house, the kids are at school, nobody's in the house, door closed, or in a secluded area where I cannot be distracted, okay? I can't study here at the office, because if I hear someone talking out in the hall and laughing, having a good time, I got to get out there, all right? It's FOMO, fear of missing out. Well, Thomas here, he totally missed out on seeing Jesus. Now, we don't know where he went. We don't know what he was up to. But he wasn't in the room where it happened, Hamilton. He wasn't there. And because he wasn't there, he didn't get to see what his friends saw. He didn't get to hear what his friends heard. And he refuses to believe that what happened actually happened. Look at verse 25. So the other disciples told him, and the tense here is the active tense, meaning they were repeatedly telling him, Thomas, this is what happened. Thomas, you got to believe us. Thomas, this is what went down. We have seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe. Now, I want you to circle that word believe in your Bibles. Put an asterisk by it because we're going to come back and talk about it. Very important word in John's gospel. Very important word in this conversation that Jesus is going to have with Thomas. Thomas is adamant about this, though. It's a double negative. He essentially says that he will not never know, never believe unless he sees it. He's been referred to as doubting Thomas. I read this passage, and I'm going to call him Christmas Thomas, right? Because this is what all the Christmas movies are about. Is seeing believing, or is believing seeing? Thomas makes a statement here. He says, I'll never believe that Jesus has risen from the grave. I'll never believe that he's alive unless I see him. He actually takes it a step further and says, unless I put my hand in the nail marks. Unless I put my hand in his pierced side. Now, we give Thomas a pretty hard time. I mean, that would be hard to live with the nickname. For those of you that have been in the church, he's known as what? Doubting Thomas. We give him a hard time about this. The reality is we don't know much about him. He's mentioned a few different times in Scripture, but every time he's mentioned, it's just his name, that he was one of the disciples. Outside of three accounts right here in John's gospel and a little bit of early church tradition, early church history, we really don't know much about him. These three conversations, John records every single one of them. And as we look at them, you're going to see into his personality a little bit. And it seems that he is a glass half empty kind of guy. It just seems that Thomas is a little bit on the pessimistic side. In John chapter 11, Jesus is getting ready to go to Bethany, and he's going to raise Lazarus from the dead. And that's what I'm going to be preaching on next week. He's the resurrection and the life. And Jesus is a wanted man. He knows if he goes anywhere near Jerusalem, and the disciples know this as well, Jesus is going to be arrested and probably put to death. Bethany's right near Jerusalem, and so the disciples are a little concerned about going back. But Jesus says, we're going. Well, listen to what Thomas says. So Thomas, called the twin, again, something else we know about him, he's a twin, said to his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. Well, thanks a lot, Eeyore. We're going to go and just die. Now, on one side, there's a loyalty to this, right? I mean, you admire it. All right, if we're going to die, let's just all go do it together. But the other side, if he's your buddy, is like, dude, stop being so dark. Not breed a whole lot of confidence in us going back. But this is who Thomas was. Second conversation is John chapter 14. Jesus is telling his disciples he's getting ready to go. He's going to go back to the Father. And he has this incredible conversation in John chapter 14, starting in verse 1. Listen to what Jesus says. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. There's that word again. Believe in God. Believe also in me. Again, an important word in John's gospel. Thomas said, I will not believe unless I see it. Now, this word believe there, it's not a mental assent. It is a belief with the heart. It is a putting your trust in. The best way I can illustrate it is this wheelbarrow right here, okay? Let's say I take this wheelbarrow here, and I'm going to go up to the top of the cross tower right out there by our chapel. And I want to put a tightrope across, let's put it all the way to Gringo's, all right? Because that's the one I'm feeling today, all right? We're going all the way to Gringo's, tightrope. Could have been Loopy's. That's a little far of a walk with a wheelbarrow, all right? So we're going to Gringo's. And all of you are going to go with me. Because I say, look, we're going outside. I'm going to show you this. I'm going to take this wheelbarrow, and I'm going to push it from the top of the cross tower across the busy street all the way to Gringo's. I want you to follow me. Meet me there. Chips and salsa on me. It's going to be a great day. And y'all watch me do it. I mean, y'all see, y'all are cheering me on as I'm walking this wheelbarrow all the way to Gringo's. We get to Gringo's. We're high-fiving. We're fist-bumping. We're eating our chips and salsa, having a good time. We get done with lunch. And then I say, look, I'm going to move this wheelbarrow back to the cross tower. I'm going back the same way I came. How many of you believe I can do it? And all of you, you've seen it. You'd say, yes, go do it, Pastor Jarrett. And I'd say, now, who wants to get in the wheelbarrow? That's a totally different thing. Well, that's the belief that Jesus is asking his disciples in this moment in John chapter 14. And it's what he's going to gently rebuke Thomas for here in just a moment. He's going to say, Thomas, I'm asking you to believe in me. Get in the wheelbarrow. Thomas, he doesn't understand this. Verse 5 of John chapter 14. Again, just getting a little insight into his personality. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? It's almost a sense of desperation here. Despondency almost. I love how human the scriptures are. Thomas, he can't figure it out. He can't wrap his mind around, what do you mean you're leaving? What do you mean you're going? Where are you going? We don't know the way. I mean, this is just my opinion here. But I really believe the reason Thomas wasn't in the room where it happened, just because of his personality, tended to be a little pessimistic, a little melancholy. I think after seeing his dreams shattered, his Messiah that he loved die, I think he was so discouraged, so depressed. He didn't want to be near anybody. And so he just went by himself. Sat in his own misery by himself. And again, just my opinion here. I think he was spiraling downward spiritually and emotionally. I mean, you know this to be true. Some of you may be wired a little bit like Thomas. Others of you, there's a little bit of this in all of us. When things don't go our way, or it's a dark and depressing time, sometimes we just want to be by ourselves. We don't want to be with a group of people. We want to sit alone in our discouragement, in our despair. And I think this is just an important lesson that we learn from the life of Thomas here. And that is, when times of discouragement, when life throws a curveball, we don't understand something that's going on, one of the worst things you can do is isolate yourself. I mean, I think if we learn anything from this, we're learning the need for community. Thomas missed seeing Jesus because he isolated himself. Scriptures tell us, Proverbs 18:1, whoever isolates himself seeks his own desire. He breaks out against all sound judgment. Typically, nothing good happens. If you're discouraged and depressed in a dark state, typically nothing good happens by isolating yourself. You need community. And allow me to just chase a rabbit right here. This has been one of the dangers of COVID. We got out of the habit of gathering together. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day drawing near. To isolate ourselves, to be alone, it's not good for us physically, it's not good for us emotionally, it's not good for us spiritually, it's not good for the soul. And so that's why, from a leadership standpoint, even here at the church, we're just going to start opening up the church more and more and more and more, because I believe people need to be together more now than ever. Want to be measured, want to be cautious, want to be loving and kind. Absolutely. Zooms have had their place. But it's time to get back together more and more and more, because this is what people need. It's healthy to be together. Thank you for letting me chase a rabbit. Now, what were we talking about? Thomas doubting. And we don't need to get too upset about Thomas doubting. First of all, none of the disciples believed when Jesus was first resurrected. Mark's account, listen to what Mark says. Mark chapter 16, verses 9 through 13, he writes, "Now when he arose, Jesus, early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, from whom he had casted out seven demons. She went and told those who had been with him as they mourned and wept. But when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they would not," what? Believe it. It's not just doubting Thomas, it's doubting disciples. Verse 12, "After these things, he appeared in another form to two of them, and as they were walking into the country, and they went back and told the rest, but they did not believe them." Luke's gospel adds this a small little detail, "But these words seemed to them to be an idle tale, and they did not believe them." So let's not get on Thomas too much for doubting. I mean, to have faith, there's an element of doubt. That's what it means to have faith. Some of the greatest people we know in Scripture had doubts. David, have you ever read his journal, the Psalms? "Where are you, God?" He doubted. Job, a man that was considered righteous before God, the first 38 chapters of the book are nothing but doubts. John the Baptist. Jesus said there's not been a man born greater from a woman than John the Baptist. John the Baptist baptized Jesus, saw the Holy Spirit descend on him like a dove, and heard the voice of God say, "This is my son with whom I'm well pleased." And when he was arrested and about to be put to death, John the Baptist sent some of his disciples to Jesus and said, "Hey, are you really the one?" Some of the greatest people we know of in Scripture doubted. It's okay to doubt. What Jesus is calling for in this moment, what he's calling us to do, what he's about to have a conversation with Thomas about. Really, there's one major point to this sermon, two words. Here it is, that even in your doubts, trust Jesus. Like, even in your doubts, get in the wheelbarrow with your doubts. That's what Jesus is calling Thomas to. He's about to teach him a lesson. "Thomas, you can trust me." Now, Thomas should have known this. And truth be known, he did know it. He knew Jesus could be trusted. The reality is, though, Thomas, again, the humanity of the Scriptures, is just like us. What happens is, when a tough time comes, when life throws a curveball, when we don't understand what's going on, when darkness seems to overwhelm us, what happens is we tend to doubt in the dark what God has already shown us in the light. Thomas has spent 3 years with Jesus. He had his master's in a master's class of trusting Jesus. He had seen Jesus take a few pieces of bread and fish and multiply them and feed 5,000. He had seen Jesus walk out on the water when it was stormy and then command the water to be still, and it listened to him. He had seen Jesus make blind people see, mute people speak, deaf people hear. Most recently, he had witnessed Lazarus being raised from the dead. I mean, Thomas, of all people, he knew that Jesus could be trusted. But again, when darkness and despair and discouragement come, so often we doubt in the dark what God has shown us in the light. This is why in your spiritual disciplines, this is why as you read your Bible and pray and study the Scriptures, this is why journaling is so important. Writing down what God's speaking to your heart, prayers that you're praying, Scripture that you're reading, so that you can go back and recount the faithfulness of God, so that when the dark times come, you know God was faithful then, he's going to be faithful now. I mean, think about the Holy Week. Jesus was marching into Jerusalem on Passover. Why did God give the Israelite people Passover? So they could remember the faithfulness of God. We're about to take the Lord's Supper. Why do we take this Lord's Supper until Jesus comes? It's a reminder of the faithfulness of God. That his body was broken, his blood was poured out. He's faithful then and he's faithful now. So even in the dark times of life, we know, God, you can be trusted. We can get in the wheelbarrow. And even though things in your life may be changing, Jesus hasn't changed. And he can be trusted. I love how Jesus shows up And he's so gentle with Thomas, gently reminds him, Thomas, get in the wheelbarrow. Trust me. Look at verses 26 through 28. 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. See, don't give Thomas a hard time. He hung out for 8 days without seeing Jesus. Can you imagine those 8 days? They're listening, talking about Jesus showing up, and every time Thomas would try to go in the circle, they'd stop because they knew it was going to hurt his feelings, right? 8 days, he hangs out with them. And although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here and see my hands. Put out your hand. Place it in my side. Place it in my side here. Notice Jesus knew what was on Thomas's heart. He and Thomas hadn't had a conversation about this. Jesus comes in the room and addresses Thomas without even having a conversation. He had read his mail. You know what? Jesus reads your mail too. And he knows what your questions are. And he knows what your struggles are. And he knows what your fears are. He knows what you're going through. And he's going to gently remind you what he reminds Thomas that day. You can trust me. And that's what he says there. Do not disbelieve. But believe. Thomas, get in the wheelbarrow. Let me walk with you through this. And Thomas answered him and said, my Lord and my God. One of the greatest confessions in all of Scripture. One commentator I read this week noted no other person in Scripture makes a confession as strong as this one. It's true. I looked at it. Jesus was called the son of David, blind Bartimaeus. Peter confesses him as the Messiah, the son of the living God. He's hailed when he walks in on Palm Sunday as the King of Israel. But nobody confesses what Thomas does here. My Lord and my God. Question for you. Have you made that confession? It's personal. Your mom and dad can't do it for you. Your brother and sister can't do it for you. Every single person here listening to my voice, every single person watching online, you have to make a personal decision to say, my Lord and my God. This is how your sins are forgiven. This is how you become in a right relationship with God. It's not your good things outweighing your bad things. It's not being a good person, a moral person. It's not attending church. The way that you get into a relationship with God is by confessing Jesus as my Lord and my God. Have you made that confession? Thomas makes it, and it changes his life. What he learns is, seeing is not believing. In the spiritual realm, believing is seeing. You get in the wheelbarrow, and then you'll begin to see spiritually. Jesus will show you things you never thought possible. Look at verse 29. Jesus said to him, have you believed because you've seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen me and yet have believed. That word blessed means it's happy. It's actually best translated by Phil Robertson of Duck Dynasty. Happy, happy, happy. That's what the word means. Happy, happy, happy. Speaking of us, we haven't seen him with our physical eyes, but if we confessed him as my Lord and my God, he says, blessed are those who've done that, who've gotten in the wheelbarrow without ever seeing me. FOMO, fear of missing out. I was writing this message this week. You know what? One of my greatest fears for our church is, people sitting here today watching online, is that you could be missing out on God's best. You could be missing out on God's blessing. Because like Thomas, something has happened. You have unanswered questions. You're lonely. You're discouraged. Life's throwing you that curveball. You don't understand. You can't wrap your mind around why God allowed something like this in your life. You're confused. You feel lonely. You feel lost. What's the answer? The answer is to get in the wheelbarrow. Believe in Christ. And I'm telling you, when you do, you might not get all the answers to your questions, but I promise you, what you will have in Jesus will satisfy what you are looking for. Jesus changed Thomas's life forever. He was never the same after this encounter. And I told you, we don't know much about him outside of the three conversations in John that we've looked at today. Early church history, early church tradition. You know what that teaches us? That Thomas, doubting Thomas, after this encounter with Christ, according to early church tradition, history, took the gospel further than any other of the disciples. He took it all the way to South India. And we're told he built churches with his hands as he discipled believers. And again, early church tradition history tells us that he was martyred for his faith. And you know how he was run through? With a spear. Very place he wanted to stick his hand in the side of Jesus. I went to India 2015. Happened to go to South India. And the people that were with me said, Jared, we want to take you somewhere. You've got to see St. Thomas Church. So we went, and you see a picture of this church right here. They took us to. It's built in St. Thomas's honor. Of course, it's constructed well after Thomas. But over to the side, there's this unmarked monument, St. Thomas Cross. They don't know how long it's been there. But it was built as a monument, as a testament to this man who encountered Jesus and took the gospel as far as humanly possible. He was never the same. My Lord and my God. I want to encourage you to take the elements that you received when you walked in today. And as you prepare them, I want you to peel it back. Take the bread representing the body of Jesus. Fruit of the vine representing his blood poured out. And I want you to hold on to it. And as you hold on to it, our team is going to come and just sing over us. And as they sing over us, just a very brief hymn, I want us to remember and reflect on the faithfulness of God. This is why we take the Lord's Supper. It's remembering what Jesus did, the price he paid until he comes. And the scripture says when we receive the Lord's Supper, we should examine ourselves. And so as we hold the elements in our hand, I want you to prayerfully examine your life. All are welcome. Talk about a FOMO, fear of missing out. All are welcome at the Lord's table if you've received Christ. But if you've not trusted in Christ, received him as your Lord, look, you can do it right now. How do you do it? Same confession as Thomas. My Lord and my God. You can confess him in your heart right now. My Lord and my God. And you can receive your first Lord's Supper with us as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Just in your heart. My Lord and my God. Hold the elements. The team's going to sing over us. We're going to reflect. And then I'll come back and lead us in just a moment, receiving the elements together. The Bible tells us that he went into an upper room and he shared a meal with his disciples. Taking the bread, he broke it and he said, "This is my body broken for you. As often as you eat of it, do so in remembrance of me." And then taking the cup that was filled with the fruit of the vine, he said, "This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for the sins of many." He said, "As often as you drink of it, do so in remembrance of me." Would you stand with me across this room? I want us to pray. I want us to confess with Thomas, "My Lord and my God." Would you just say that right now? "My Lord and my God." Father, thank you for your blood poured out, your body broken. We give you praise, oh God. We give you praise for dying for us, raising to life for us. We celebrate you in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible says that after they had a supper, Jesus led his disciples into the garden and they sang a hymn. And so that's what we're going to do in this moment. Let's lift our hearts and minds and voices together, singing this hymn to Jesus. you're here today and you want to receive Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, our pastors are going to be right here and here and here and here in the balcony area. You don't have to come all the way down. They're here and here and here. But if you need to confess Jesus, my Lord and my God, we're going to sing and I want you to come. Or maybe you want to join Champion Forest. You know, you can come forward today. Some of you have been visiting. You're like me. You're new to the area. You want to join this church, you come forward. Tell the pastor. We'll get you in our new members class. You can join there. Others of you need to be baptized, like the six that we watched right there. You can come forward and tell the pastor, I want to be baptized. Our pastors are right here. But right now, if you need to make that decision, I want you to come. Don't wait on anybody. You come right now. We never want you to leave Champion Forest without your questions answered. God's dealing with you in a situation in life. You need prayer. I want to kind of encourage you to come forward. You'll see our pastors here. They have the church logo on their mask. You can go to our connections desk in the atrium, get all of your questions answered. If you want to join the church, you can do so right there. Sign up for the membership class there. Pray to receive Christ. You can do it there. But we're so grateful that you came today. Aren't you glad you came to church on this Sunday morning? God's so good.
Thank you for joining us online. We hope today's experience encouraged and challenged you. At Champion Forest, we are passionate about all kinds of people coming to know God, to grow in their relationship with Him and others, and then to go out and make a difference in the world. We would love the opportunity to talk and pray with you. To connect with us, just go to championforest.org/connect. And hey, of course, we can't wait to welcome you on campus, in person, on one of our locations. We'll see you soon.